Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life.
Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast. My name is Erin. Coronavirus and breastfeeding. Today, we dig into all the nitty-gritty details with an amazing professional, Mercedes Thomas. There are a few things happening here on my side of the mic. Besides it feeling a little bit like Groundhog Day, day in and day out, I've created two free lymphatic flow classes. The lymphatic system doesn't have its own pump and it's moved by movement. So I've created two quick classes to support our immune systems by encouraging the lymphatic flow. These can be found under the show notes and they can be passed on to your clients as well. It's just a resource I wanted to create to support you guys as you're out there supporting your clients. And also, if your clients are wanting to support their immune systems through movement at home during this time, this is an awesome resource for that. I've also had to move my in-person classes to online for the time being. I'm going to be doing a four-week online strong and functional core and pelvic floor series starting next week. I don't offer an intense boot camp style workouts. There's not going to be any crunches or push-ups in my classes. Rather, it's a really mindful and intentional series of low impact exercises with lifestyle alignment and daily habits to support the optimal engagement of your core and pelvic floor. We really focus on optimal inner abdominal pressure, knowing how to regulate that and differentiate what's going on there. We talk about finding our own blind spots and our own movement habits. And this class is really perfect for anyone dealing with incontinence or diastasis recti, pelvic organ prolapse, general weakness of the pelvic floor and core, feeling weak and unstable in your back. All of these are addressed and supported through this series. So I'm especially finding now through this very stressful time that a lot of people are seeing an uptick in pelvic floor dysfunction or incontinence just because stress can bring that out in us. And so this is a really awesome resource and series for that. You can find all the information again on my website under the show notes from today's show. So how are you guys doing? How are you supporting your new mama clients? Is breastfeeding a topic you've had to wrestle out now? And what you're recommending in this new upside down landscape we find ourselves in? Our guest on the show, Mercedes Thomas, is no stranger to understanding and supporting her clients in this field. Mercedes is a mother, wife, a board certified pediatric nurse practitioner, certified lactation counselor, and the owner of Advanced Practice Wellness, LLC. Her practice specializes in virtual lactation consultations and online maternal child health education. As a new mother, Mercedes had to overcome many challenges during the postpartum period relating to breastfeeding, ranging from her son's tongue-tied diagnosis to being faced with eliminating dairy and soy from her diet due to her son's food intolerances. It's her mission to combine her nursing expertise with her experiences as a mom to support families with evidence-based infant feeding and maternal health education and resources. We had a wonderful conversation about stress and the virus and recommendations and more. She's relatable and smart and experienced. And so, without further ado, here is my conversation with Mercedes. Mercedes, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Great, Erin. How are you doing?
I am well. I am well. I am home. It feels a little bit like Groundhog Day right now. As far as just, it feels like I'm doing the same thing every day. So I'm actually really excited to do, I have a couple interviews this afternoon and you're one of them. So it feels really exciting to have an adult intelligent conversation.
Oh, I can definitely identify. I'm here hanging out with my toddler. their daycare, like many places, it's been kind of canceled until whenever. So we don't really know when he's going to be able to return. So we're just hanging out and it's kind of like doing the stay at home mom thing, but also trying to work. So it's kind of like a hybrid.
Yes. We're doing it all.
Yes.
So, Mercedes, for my listeners who haven't heard of you, can you give us a little bit of background of who you are and what you do?
Sure. So, I'm a mother, as you've heard. I have a toddler. He just turned 2. Been married for almost 5 years. I lived in Atlanta for about 14 years and went to nursing school there at Emory University. I also completed my master's degree at University of South Alabama. So my master's is in pediatric primary care, nurse practitioner by training. I've been working with families in pediatrics and neonatology for over 11 years. And I had my son, like I said, 2 years ago. We had some major challenges related to breastfeeding. I am where I am right now, which is I own a small private practice doing mostly virtual lactation consulting as well as maternal infant education. And I got to that point because I just had a lot of struggles. And because of my background, I assumed a lot. And even my husband, friends, family assumed that it would just come natural. And some things came really natural, but the breastfeeding portion, we just had some struggles. My son had a tongue tie. He also, we found at around 6 weeks of life, had a dairy intolerance. So I had to completely change my entire diet. I did that for around 12 months, a little over, remaining dairy and soy free to continue breastfeeding him as to not upset his stomach, as well as reflux that he was suffering from.
Awesome. Yeah, I love how so many people in this community are drawn to their work because of their own stories. And there's such a level of compassion because you've been there and you understand it rather than just, I've read a book about it.
Exactly. Exactly. The way that I work with families now is completely, totally different than I did prior to, because I can also mesh in my own experience as a mom, and I can also empathize in a different way than I did previous to now. It's just different, and it's a good different, something to embrace.
That's awesome. So when it comes to breastfeeding in particular, I like to start a little bit with the emotional response we have to it first before we get into just like the data. Because I think there's a lot of, I had a struggle with my first son. He had an allergic reaction to something I ate. And so I had to start pumping and we had to take a break. And then the introduction, that whole dance of trying to make it work. And there was such a strong emotional reaction that I had. One, you're newly postpartum, if this comes up early in the breastfeeding relationship, and you're tired and you're exhausted and the hormones, but then there's this also layer of like not wanting to feel like a failure. And so when it comes to breastfeeding and you working with your clients, like just in the very beginning stages, how do you establish a less volatile emotional relationship with breastfeeding? How do you coach them into a more like peaceful and less stressed out, a way of looking at it and relating to it and engaging in that?
So I like the way you use the word coach, but I think my outlook on it is to be more of a nurturer.
Mm.
So proceeding more gently. And my goal is not to, even though I'm a breastfeeding advocate, I would love for all of the moms that I work with, all the parents that I work with, for them to exclusively breastfeed for as long as they would want to, if that's what their wish is. My wish is for them to be emotionally healthy, baby to thrive. So whether that is with thriving with breast milk straight from the breast, whether the mom decides that pumping is going to be the best route for her, maybe they are going to try to do breastfeeding and then do some donor milk, or maybe breastfeeding is just not working out for them. Maybe mom has to go back to work at 6 weeks and she's going to have to do some supplementing. So the way that I look at it is and approach things is by looking at where the family is at that moment and how I can meet them where they're at that moment in order to work on building goals.
I love the idea of someone coming alongside and nurturing the mother, because I think often the mom is so focused on nurturing the baby to have someone come alongside and not just be engaged in the process of helping her nurture the baby, but nurturing her. I love that word choice that you use.
So like I said, the big thing, and like you said, we're so fragile, right? As new moms. I mean, I remember even before I had my son, one day I literally cried because I was leaving out of the house with my husband. And I just wanted to sprinkle feta cheese on my salad. And he was like, come on, we've got to go. I don't even know where we were headed. And I literally started crying about sprinkling feta cheese on a salad. So it can be something so small like that. And breastfeeding, and when you really have the drive to breastfeed, that is something that I can see would definitely cause a mom, if she's not able to be successful like she plans to be, it can cause you to really be in a bad place and you to really feel down about yourself and feel like, why can't I do this? But like I said, I think we have so many alternatives out there to support moms in their goals, whatever those goals may be.
Absolutely. So when we are, I want to move into talking a little bit, just the elephant in the room, as far as we're in the middle of a pandemic. We have the coronavirus happening, and that is impacting how our clients are experiencing this whole prenatal, prenatal, postnatal stage. It's impacting how all of us are interacting with our clients, and it's impacting our recommendations. So where are you at as far as, I know everything is changing, but as far as, where do you get your resources from, and what is the process you take your clients through? What are you recommending right now as far as this relationship with breastfeeding and also processing healthy habits and trying to stop the spread?
So full disclaimer, I'm not a COVID-19 expert at this point. I don't think many people can say that they are, even some of our organizations, because things are constantly unraveling and unfolding, and we're learning even by the hour at this point. The two most reliable sources at this point would be the Centers for Disease Control, also known as CDC, or the World Health Organization, also known as WHO. Those two organizations are guiding what we do in large part as professionals, and would also serve our families the best. I have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion, right? But at the end of the day, we've got to go with the best evidence that we have in order to try to decrease fear as much as possible. I think listening to a lot of opinions, and I mean, you can literally go on any social media source, on the news, on a blog, and find just a lot of information. And some of it is just not correct based on the science that we have right now in front of us.
Yes. So yeah, I would say that might be a first recommendation for our clients, as far as them being very particular about where they find their resources and who they choose to allow to be an authority speaking into how they're going to make decisions.
Yes. And one of my favorite resources, just at any time, not even during a pandemic, is going to be healthychildren.org. That website is sponsored through the American Academy of Pediatrics, and it's a fantastic resource, from my baby has a newborn rash all the way down to my baby has X, Y, and Z symptoms, and there's a symptom tracker. It even gives you meal plans for your picky toddler. So it's a really great website that is peer reviewed. So you have doctors and that are on there reviewing the information, breaking it down in really bite-sized pieces of information and easy to understand bulleted information, so that families can have somewhere reputable to turn.
Yeah, not just some random blogger who may or may not.
You'll get scared Googling, what is my baby's rash? If you type that into Google,
yes,
you may really scare yourself.
Exactly. That's awesome. So when it comes to, so we, can't really say definitively a whole lot about this coronavirus, but what are your thoughts on
You know, are you still advising your clients to breastfeed right now?
Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely. My recommendation would never be against not breastfeeding. Right now, World Health Organization has taken a pretty bold stance to continue breastfeeding. Of course, in continuing to breastfeed, they're recommending moms are washing their hands very well with soap and water. Also, that you are taking care to not transmit the virus respiratory-wise. So if you are going to cough, sneeze, any of those things, of course, baby should not be near you. And if you're going to breastfeed and put the baby to breast, that you should wear a mask over your face to decrease any potential respiratory droplets that may occur in the air over top of the baby. And again, like I said, the single most thing that you can do is continue to wash your hands very well. Mm-hmm. I think historically, the information that we have is that viruses of respiratory origin are pretty low transmission through breast milk.
That's good. So when it comes to this breastfeeding, and this is a time where there is a lot of fear. There is a lot of big things are happening. The world feels like it's turned upside down. And so a lot of us are feeling stress. And I know that stress can have a negative impact on your milk supply. So what are just some general, when it comes to stress, tips or tricks or just kind of way that you nurture your moms through a stressful time in their life so that it doesn't overly, or, you know, they can kind of pay attention to how it's affecting their milk supply and how they can navigate that whole process?
So the really important thing to know about stress is that it can affect a mother's milk letdown, which will, of course, in the end, decrease supply if the milk cannot be elicited through the breast for the baby to get that. One of my top tips is to relax. And so how do you do that? Do you have an easy chair in your home? Maybe you like to listen to music. Maybe you like to look at Netflix and just relax. Whatever it is to kind of take yourself into a zone of relaxation, that's my top tip. It's really hard to relax with all this going on, but I think if we can just try to take ourselves to a place of calm, whether that's even escaping through reading a book, those are really good coping mechanisms for stress. Also, imagery is another great thing. So, most of us are all at home right now, unless we're essential personnel. Some of us do still have to go out into the field. I've had a lot of clients that are nurses or colleagues that are nurses ask what they should do when they're away from baby at work. So that brings on a lot of stress already. How to pump when you're away from your baby, if you're in a hospital, if you're in a community health clinic, if you're in patient homes seeing them, what are you going to do to protect yourself? Stress-wise and cleanliness-wise while you're out doing those things. So going back to imagery, looking at a picture of your baby, looking at a picture if you like the beach. The beach is my thing, so I'm just going to use that as an example. But if beaches relax you, just having calming music with that will also help as well. But looking at pictures of babies, of your baby in particular, listening to a baby cry, those things have all been known to elicit oxytocin release, which also helps for your milk letdown.
That's good. Right. So all the things that would make you feel warm and fuzzy as far as cuddling your baby.
It could be a puppy, right?
Exactly.
Maybe people think puppies make them really happy or kittens.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. It just really embracing that oxytocin is really important. So when it comes to working with your clients and they are really processing, you know, the idea of navigating choices, because I think we have so many choices now. So it's like I can breastfeed exclusively, or I can pump, or I can, you know, supplement, or I can use donor milk, or as they're navigating and trying to figure out what is the best fit for their family, what's the best fit for what's going on with them, what are just a few of the reference points that you help them like take into consideration so that they can make that choice that works best for them?
So I think the most important part above all is just making sure that, like I said, mom's mental health is intact and that baby is being fed appropriately, gaining weight, and happy. So once we start from that basis, the next thing to consider is, what is this mom's in the family's lifestyle? So if I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, my lifestyle may look different than a mom who's going to return to working in a really busy hospital in the end of the 6 week or 8 week postpartum period and just going straight back to work right away. So their journeys are going to look a little bit differently. Maybe that mom may have to start pumping at the 4 week mark to start getting prepared to go back to work at 6 weeks. Maybe the other mom is able to exclusively breastfeed at home. So I think it's about looking at lifestyle and what's doable and then coming up with a plan and working in small steps. I like to take no more than about 3 goals and or steps with families and then try to work with them from there. And then we can expound on those. And then sometimes we meet one goal and can cross those things off. And like I said, build upon. I actually still breastfeed my child. I'm trying to wean him furiously, but he is, he's pretty stubborn. I just like to use myself as an example, because even through it all, the cow's milk protein and soy intolerances, the tongue tie, I never thought we would make it this far, honestly. Sometimes I didn't know if we'd make it past 6 months. And then one day we ditched the nipple shield and we never looked back.
Yes, that's awesome. Where you kind of don't really know what your story is going to look like until you're in it. When you have, helped them work towards their goals, I just know when I talk to a lot of moms, there's just so much, they measure themselves personally by this topic quite a bit, or they feel externally measured by it. And so let's say we've got a mom and she's going back to work in, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever she's got to do. And it's not going to happen. Like her body's not producing the milk. It's not pumping. It's not going to work. Like she's done the things, but she's just like, it's not going to happen. But she feels really negatively about herself, or however the scenario is, like the mom feels bad. Like I'm not doing what I should be doing, but this is what's best for our family. How do you help coach them through that self-negative like talk or beliefs about themselves? I guess the feeling of failure. A lot of times I hear the word failure when it comes to this topic.
So I like to first start off with what is typical, because we can say normal, but what's normal for one breastfeeding mom may not be normal for the other. So I think by establishing what is typical and letting a mom know that when you go to pump, in between breastfeeding and or pumping, or just on average, most women, a typical amount would be anywhere from a half an ounce to 2 ounces per breast each time that they go into pump. So I think establishing the typical benchmark helps a lot of women, because a lot of times we see a lot of things in the media, maybe even in mom groups, maybe wherever, that are showing women with a freezer full of milk. Mm-hmm. And that's an expectation for a lot of moms to feel bad before they can even get started. Mm-hmm. So you could be in the hospital trying to understand why am I not producing? Or a lot of women will say, oh, my milk hasn't come in. And they're expecting that if they were to hook themselves up to a pump on day 3 or 5, if that's what they choose to do, if they choose to be an exclusive pumper, or if they need to go back to work earlier, why am I not getting what I see other women getting? And I think we just have to educate and let moms know that there are other alternatives in the early days to express milk. So your journey may look like you hand expressing in the beginning, because colostrum is very thick. Mm-hmm. Your journey may look like You putting baby to breast. It may look like you starting to pump at 2 weeks or 3 weeks so that you can start to get baby ready for them to take a bottle before you return back to work. The negative self-talk a lot I find is really helpful with having a support group of other women. So I always 100%, I have a support group. It's more geared towards women that have babies that are suffering from food intolerances. We share recipes, just give moral support, just sharing information as moms and peers to one another. So I think that there are a lot of great support groups that moms can tap into, not after they have the baby, because that's a really stressful time sometimes. So many things are happening. You've got family visiting. You've got everybody weighing in with what they think is their opinion, and it's the best opinion for you to have, or they breastfed and this is how you should do it. I think those support groups, tapping into those before you have the baby and getting the education before you have the baby, whether it be through classes, there's a lot of great series out there that are actually on YouTube. Like Global Health Media has a lot of great free videos that are all on YouTube. Getting that education prior to having the baby is how I really coach my moms to kind of link in to that before they have the baby. Sometimes I can't always meet the moms before they have the baby, but I do, like I said, the support group is so big, to have that support system and to have other women that understand what you're going through and just to be able to vent to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that realistic expectations is huge. So we're talking to our fellow birth workers. So we've got a lot of doulas and midwives, and they're in the trenches right now coaching the prenatal and postnatal mamas. And do you have any words of wisdom for the, not necessarily the moms, but the birth workers who are working with the moms, especially around the idea of breastfeeding and the fear that's going on? And just any words of encouragement or words of wisdom that you have?
Absolutely. So I love doulas and midwives. They're so important to the courses for moms. Also, I just want to give a shout out to lactation consultants as well.
Absolutely.
Because they also are out there in the trenches, as we would say, just working with these families, just trying to really get a handle on what's happening right now. And the biggest thing is being your mothers and their family advocate is the most important thing. So familiarize yourself with the current recommendations. I think that's the best way that you can advocate for moms right now, is for you to be familiar, as you always are with anything, but really to just try to keep track of the information as best as you can. Some really good resources for birth workers are going to be your state breastfeeding coalition. So most of the states have one. We have one here in Maryland. That's fantastic. They actually just sent out a really great resource list for families and birth workers. So I would encourage everyone to tap into that for support, for sharing of information. Also, the ABM is another really, really good place for moms to gather resources. It's going to breastfeeding medicine. So they give a lot of the recommendations and protocols in general. And it's just a really good way when you're in the hospital and you're working with nurses and doctors to really come to the table with credible information to be able to share. Also give your families the information so that they can be familiar. So when they arrive at the hospital, they know that regardless of what the hospital is recommending, they still have a choice because it is their baby. And I think the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine highlights that pretty well, that if the mom should choose to continue to breastfeed, even if she is positive, these are the recommendations that you should follow through CDC or the World Health Organization to do that as safe as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yep. Yeah. It's going to be an ever-changing thing over the next, I'm hoping not too long, but we never know. And yeah, to just be in the boat with our clients, not necessarily, we don't necessarily have all the answers, but we're in it with them. And we have that energy to keep up with the recommendations and keep up with the resources and to just provide that for them and encourage them with that. It's just so powerful.
And I think the other big elephant in the room is that a lot of times right now, a lot of hospitals are, you're looking at headlines and now they're only saying that one partner or one support person can be with the mom in the hospitals. So that's posing another barrier and even a threat to some moms, because we know even evidence-based research is going to tell us that having a doula with the mom for helps with lower interventions sometimes. And it just helps mom mentally make it through laboring. If doulas are not allowed in the hospitals right now, depending on the policy, I would just encourage them to like look at your community, look at the midwives in your community, the certified nurse midwives and the professional midwives, just kind of band together and advocate together. Write letters to your local hospital and explain the importance. I know Donna has a statement that they've put out that they are have drafted for doulas and the importance of having doulas. So look to your professional organizations to support yourselves and kind of wrap your arms around each other so that you can continue to do the best to advocate for families. A lot of doulas are also, and other birth workers are finding really creative ways to continue working with their families virtually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also important too, to explore what type of technologies may be a good fit for you to continue to support families, even if you can't be there in person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's really good. And you offer a lot of your work virtually as well, right?
I do, actually. So I do offer breastfeeding education as well as lactation consultations through virtually. So I use a HIPAA compliant video software to do that. And then for basic questions, maybe just a quick question, I also offer, like I said, the breastfeeding support group. And then I also can offer telephone consults for those quick, uncomplicated questions.
Awesome. So where can our listeners find you? Do you have a website, social media? Where are you at?
Yes. So I am at Advanced with a D, Practice Wellness on all social media outlets. So Facebook, I even have a Pinterest that I'm kind of working on, and then also Instagram. And my website is also www.advancedpracticewellness.com. I also will be providing a handy tip sheet on how to combat low milk supply during stressful times. That will be available to all listeners, and that's pertinent to birth workers and for families and moms to kind of read over. And it just kind of gives a lighthearted way to deliver some of the evidence-based information that we know about maintaining your supply when you may be under stress.
That's fabulous. And everyone can find all this information in the show notes. So I'll make it really easy for them to find. So Mercedes, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your wisdom and for just the work you do in supporting this community.
Thank you so much for having me, Erin.
There's so much uncertainty in this time and so much we don't understand about the coronavirus. And I deeply respect how Mercedes didn't overstep her bounds and make definitive statements that might make us feel a little more comfortable, but that we just can't make it this time based off of the evidence. There's so much we can do outside of those definitive statements to support our clients, advocate for ourselves, and to keep ourselves up to date on the information that is constantly shifting and updating. Mercedes has compiled a list of resources that are extremely helpful with all of this, as well as her tip sheet that she has generously compiled for all of ourselves and for our clients. Again, all these resources mentioned in today's show are under the podcast show notes at thrivingbirthworker.com under episode 21. If you're enjoying these shows, if you're enjoying the Thriving Birth Worker podcast, if you could just pause for 30 seconds and rate and review the podcast, that would just make my heart so happy. It is a free way that you can support the show, and it helps us in the rankings, and it helps other people find us. I'm here. Reach out if you need human connection, seriously, via email or social media. I'm sending you love and virtual germ-free hugs and encouragement as we navigate this new normal for ourselves and for our clients. Bye for now.
The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.